From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. I'm John Schaefer. In the 90s, Team Dresch made a pair of albums that blended the energy of punk, the blunt force of grunge, and a knack for catchy tunes. Along the way, they helped to define the punk subculture known as queercore. But when Team Dresch released a new song earlier this year, it was their first new music in 19 years. Now, as long as they've got the band back together, they've hit the road. And today, they are here in our studio, and they're going to start us off with their new song. It's called Your Hands, My Pocket.
It's just a feeling to be known. Take your hands out of your pockets and put them on me. I know it right now.
That is Team Dresch.
Live.
Live here in our studio. How's everyone feeling about that?
Hi.
That was fun, John.
That was fun. Your Hands, My Pockets, new song from Team Dresch. The lineup is going around the room, Donna Dresch on guitar. For those of you keeping score at home, she's in the left channel. Kaya Wilson on guitar in the right channel and vocals. Jody Bliley on vocals and bass, although Jody, you and Donna are going to be switching instruments momentarily, right?
True.
And Melissa York has been told to sit in the corner with the drum kit.
Hello.
Hi, Mel.
Thank you. Hi.
So, Kaya, who wrote that song?
That was a real collaboration, I'd say. Donna, you were starting some riffing. You were riffing on your, what program?
I would think, I don't know.
Okay, it doesn't matter. But you were recording. You were riffing, and
Donna
came
wrote
over for a
that
riff, party.
Riff a while ago.
Yeah,
and I had saved it. I had saved a little snippet of it,
And then when we were like, we need to write a new song, I was like, that riff, I've always wanted to build a song around.
So
we started working around that riff.
And is it like riding a bike after all these years, the four of you come back together and, you know, it just happens?
Yeah, well, we hang out a lot already, and so it seemed like a good time to do this. I don't know why I'm talking.
Yeah, and there's a fifth of us. Our other drummer, Marceo, lives in Portland, so.
And Marceo drummed on that recording.
On the new
I added more 80s to the song.
I think we all fit, but we all love collaborating with each other, and I do think there is some chemistry that happens when we do get together. Even though it's been so many years, it still is there. It's still alive.
Is it hard to relearn? Well, I mean, it's not like you've been totally away. There have been occasional live performances, but still, you know, all of the stuff is now out. It just came out this year digitally. And so when you go back to those records, to Personal Best and Captain My Captain, is it hard to relearn that material from so long ago?
Some of the songs are harder to learn, and we may not be playing those tonight.
And also just the endurance.
But yeah, some of them are harder than others for sure. Although sometimes we got a little mathy back in the day. We have to do more counting to figure it out.
Donna used to call it girl rock.
I did?
Yeah. Well, now girl time.
That was three. That was 3-4. Yeah.
Well, that's Remember Who You Are is in Girl Time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true though. A lot of women back in the day wrote more songs in three.
Wanted to waltz.
And that's Girl Time is 3/4 time.
It's for some reason a lot of the girl bands at the time had
more songs. Yeah, had more songs in three.
Okay. Now, because of the fraught political times that we're in, I know a number of people have assumed that you've come back to make some kind of statement about Trump. I can't help but notice that the last time you guys were making records, we had a president who was being impeached. And now, right? And now here we've sort of come
full
circle.
But maybe this time the Senate will do their job.
Yeah. Are you optimistic, Jody?
No.
Yeah. So look, back in the day, four openly gay women making music together was, you know, that was a statement, a really powerful and unusual statement, and perhaps at times even a dangerous one to make. How far have we come, I guess, is my question. I mean, how, if at all, have times changed?
That's a broad one, John.
I know.
They've absolutely changed for the better.
Yeah, I mean, broad strokes, obviously they've changed an enormous amount. And also, it's still really hard for a lot of young people to come out, just to in whatever their identity is, even in places like Portland, you know, even in places like New York. That's very, very real.
But I think in terms of making it, it's really hard to not be seen as fuckable. In a band, you know what I mean?
Cuss.
You know, it's, well, I know we can cuss, right? We can curse. And I'm in, you know, my kind of home state.
Right. So you bring the 80s and the New York to the proceedings, Mel, is what you're saying.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Are you a native New Yorker?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, so I'm a bridge and tunneler.
We'll let you slide.
I'm close enough.
We'll let you slide. But this group, you know, Team Dresh, Donna, this really came out of Portland specifically, but, you know, even before that, Olympia, right?
Yeah.
And there was something in the water.
There was something in the water there. I don't know. I think it's because it was a small town and rains a lot and you don't know what to do with yourself. And so we all just started bands.
Yeah.
And then, you see your friend making a band and be like, oh, I want to be in a band, you know, something like that. And so there's kind of snowballed into almost everybody in Olympia that I knew was in a band.
So it's kind of like Athens, Georgia, the 80s, where, you know, suddenly all these kids were playing. But of course, it was a college town, and Olympia is too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So picking up on what Jody was saying, Donna, you know, the idea that you were pioneers 25 years ago, do you still feel like pioneers now, or do you feel like there's a broader parade that you're a part of?
I guess I don't think of things like that. I mean, we started the band because I really just wanted to meet them. I was looking and looking and looking, no matter how many bands I was in and where I was going, I just couldn't find these guys. And so when I finally found them, that's how we made the band.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking at it as like, we're going to create a genre.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, none of us were in that exact way. But we were very clear that we wanted to be very outspoken.
Yeah.
You were
loud
and proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we needed to find our mirror, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there was no one else like us around.
And so, you know, you had an audience of people who also needed, Mel, that mirror. How broad was the audience back in the day? And what does it look like, Kaya, when you're out on the road now? Who are you seeing out there?
Let's see. We do have our generation span at our shows now is much wider than it was then. It was more kids probably our age then.
Right.
And now it's like people our age, people older, and
their kids.
Actual, literally little kid. There was like a toddler dancing at the show last night. So that's really, I love that part of it.
I think back in the day, the audience was really broad in the Northwest. I mean, we definitely played some, you know, house parties that were like all girl bands, mm-hmm. deep feminist, like queer house party stuff where the audience was like more just that crew.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also just all of the indie labels in the Pacific Northwest and all the bands were so cross-pollinated and so much love and support. And everybody would be at each other's shows, playing with each other's bands. It wasn't just a narrow, like, Riot Girls only play with Riot Girls. And at least in our world, it wasn't like that. You know, we'd play the Velvet Elvis, and I don't even, you know, mm-hmm. we played with all kinds of, just everybody mm-hmm. in the Northwest.
Well, and even the sound of the band, I mean, it wasn't just one thing, you know. I mean, you mentioned that there were some sort of math rock excursions. And
we had our emo edge. Then the other bands that were influenced by Rites of Spring. We had our deep tie with Sunny Day Real Estate, you know.
Uh-huh. And actually, the song you're going to play next, Freewheel, has almost like a kind of rockabilly flavor to it. At least that's what I hear in it.
Yeah, it's a little country.
Yeah. I think it's like country punk.
Right. Sure. Little cowpunk music from... Now, for this one, Donna, Jody, you guys need to switch places, right? So while they're doing that... Kaya, when you are going back to this is an old song. This
yeah.
is probably about 25 years old, give or take.
It might be older. I think 1993, maybe.
Wow. Does it seem like somebody else wrote this, you know, or does it feel like, oh yeah, I remember writing?
I remember writing it. I remember that experience very vividly, actually, because I was looking at a cat in a living room in Portland at the Lucky House. Freewheel is a kitty.
That was the cat's name.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just looking at Freewheel, and I'm like, oh, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Just, I don't know. I can remember the feeling of that moment and the song. I don't know. It still feels like it resonates enough.
And it was, as you say, a moment. And so the song is literally like a moment. I mean, it's a minute and a half.
Yeah.
So here's another blast of music from Team Dresch. Their latest release is the song you just heard called Your Hands, My Pockets, but their whole catalog is now out in all the usual digital places, Spotify and Bandcamp and SoundCloud, and we're going to hear this live performance of Freewheel.
Just the same girl, over and over and over.
So there. That's Freewheel.
Yeah.
Team Dresch live in our studio on this Soundcheck podcast in our newsounds.org studios in New York. Once again, Kaya playing guitar and vocals, Jody on guitar and vocals, Donna switched off to bass, Melissa's behind the drum kit. So, Donna, let me ask you just about the early days of the band and the name Team Dresch. I mean, just because I'm a big believer in teams, you know, like in team sports brings out, I believe, the best and worst. You know, if you're going to be an asshole, mm-hmm. we're all going to find out in a team sport setting.
So we tried so many different names. And first we were just Jody, Donna, and Kaya. That was our first show. And Jody was playing drums at the time.
Uh-huh.
And then we were like Kaya and the Mustache Girls. And then we were Magic Animal. We actually had 7-inch t-shirt art for that and a 7-inch cover art for that.
That's a good
Magic Animal.
And then
Animal.
Somebody just said Team Dresch, and it just were like, bing, that's it. It makes the most sense.
I actually made a really long list of names that had to do with your name.
Yeah,
I was like, I think we should name it after Donna because we all looked up to Donna, mm-hmm. you know, and we kind of, that's how we, through our various stories, Kaya, through Chainsaw, to her fanzine, and I was in another band called Hazel, and the bass player in that band, Brady, had worked with Donna at the Smithfield Cafe in Olympia, and he introduced us one night, and we're just like, we have to hang out, we have to play music, or, you know. I was like, I have to play in a band with Dykes, Donna, I have to play in a band with just Dykes. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
So we made our list, and the team was the one that worked.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons it works is because it gets to what you were just talking about, Jody, which is this sense of community that, you know, you were all a part of forming, really, in the Northwest in the 90s. And it wasn't just music. It was like the whole DIY thing, you know, fanzines and stuff like that. And, of course, this is all at around the time that the internet was in its absolute infancy. Now the internet controls our lives and our every thought and deed. So has community changed? Has your community been changed by that?
Well, you know, the internet was always a part of our community, actually, because Donna and I were really into it really early. And Donna should talk about this, but her brother actually wrote a message board for her record label. So it was at chainsaw.org. And a lot of kids found each other on that community who are still friends to this day, 25
wow.
years later. And it was probably one of the earliest message boards on the internet. Donna?
I think the Chainsaw Kids were really like pioneers of social media.
They really were.
It was all pre-Facebook, pre-Friendster, all that stuff. It was just that message board. You wake up in the morning, you check the message board.
Yeah. But especially for kids who are any kind of outsider,
mm-hmm.
that knowledge that there are other people like you out
yeah.
there is just, you know, that's a lifeline.
It's amazing that there's so many people that I talk to that met on the message board and they've gotten married, they've had kids together, they all have stayed in touch, they all really feel like family to each other, and I'm just happy that I get to be a part of it.
Yeah. So you don't see the internet as like something that has come along and co-opted, because what you're talking about, Donna, is again a very DIY
mm-hmm.
approach, and there's very little DIY about what's online today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now nobody's putting up bulletin boards anymore, because before the internet, you know, we'd dial up somebody's phone number to the computer in their house, and they had a little bulletin board where you can send messages to each other that way.
Right, and there would be, like, fanzines for vegan food on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there was.
You know, where it's like you don't have Yelp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
you have this great fanzine where it's like, go to this place in Minot, North Dakota.
Yeah, or like Provade. But book your own fucking life. What was
yes,
that? Was
yeah.
that Maximum Rock and Roll? Or was it
yeah,
profane
it was Maximum Rock and Roll,
profane
I think.
Existence?
Yeah.
It was
okay.
MRR.
But now, of course, the flip side is you needed to know about that
yeah.
in order to make use of it. And now you can just, like, do a Google
But again,
Google
that starts just from community, you know. You
yeah.
meet one kid, they know yep. another kid, and then this kid knows that
but
kid.
I think people still, like, you're not finding each other online through a message board that somebody's brother wrote. It might be through Facebook or Instagram. So ultimately, up the chain, it is owned by these corporations, but I still feel like the teenagers that I know, like most of them have real close, tight friends that they met somehow
mm-hmm.
online. They don't live in their town. they're the person that they feel like they can talk to, maybe because of that distance a little bit, or because they found some really specific thing that they have in common. And so I think, you know, people are still going to, they're going to find each other. Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg just might make a little bit of money off of it.
Now, Kaya was saying before that, you know, there's like multiple generations now who are coming to Team Dresh shows. And Jody, do you see your role as a band for a younger generation of you know, LGBT kids? Has it changed because of generational things or just because the society has changed?
I just feel like there's something, for whatever reason, all of us, you know, when we were young, at a time when it wasn't easy to come out, although I don't think it's easy now still, we were just going to do it. There was no choice. There was no kind of conscious thought about, like, well, what about my career? Or what should I, you know, it's just like this, we were just driven to this thing. And I think that we're like that in general about a lot of things in our life that are political or just about being ourselves. I think there's something about that, that if kids are at the show, that I've experienced already with some kids that are at the show, that they see that and it still resonates with them the way it resonates, yeah, you know, with all human beings. Anytime you see somebody being themselves at any age, whether they're older than you, younger than you, you're like, you get that little hit of like, ah, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as weird and almost grotesque as it is to see Mick Jagger at his age still kind of strutting and flapping around the stage, you know, as you see the years unspool before you, that kind of thing can be kind of comforting.
It is cool, but, you know, there's somebody doing everything for that guy.
Yeah.
We're doing everything ourselves.
Mel's like, yeah, but I carry my kick drum.
With a bad neck, too.
So how do you keep from becoming the old fuddy-duddies? Donna, how do you stay in touch with, you know, who's doing what?
Because I am the oldest, is that?
No, because you're good at keeping you're always going with the new stuff, not just in music.
I think we have to actively do it because it's easy to fall back into just be like, oh, I loved that record from 1987. I just wouldn't listen only to that record for the rest of my life. So I have to really try to make sure that I am, because there's so much good music, and it's, you just have to look for it.
But back to this idea of what Donna was just saying about, you know, I could listen to that album for the rest of my life. The fact is, Donna, there are people who do exactly that. They, you know, and actually we've had like psychologists, neuroscientists on the show talking about why that is, you know, and people do get kind of stuck in the music that they loved when they were 14, 15, mm-hmm. 16. So, I mean, you listen to a lot of things, you try and keep up with what's happening mm-hmm. these days, but who's stuck in you? Who are those 14, 15, 16-year-old heroes for you?
From back in the day?
Yeah.
Well, Right to Spring was, we just mentioned it, so Right to Spring was the record that first made me, like, feel all emo-y and cry when I listened to it.
Okay.
And Fifth Column, they were the first band that I was ever in contact with that had queer people in them, and we became pen pals. That was a huge thing for me to meet them. And anybody else want to jump in?
Kaya?
I don't know. I mean, I still listen to Sleater-Kinney's old records too, the very old ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bikini Kill, Verses. Everybody listens to Verses still. Those are so
yeah,
stuck.
I'm just taking it back further, like when I was actually 14 or, you know. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly when those records came out. The Throwing Muses records. Mm. I wasn't 14, a little older than that. But I just, those records are really stuck with me. The Smiths records.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Smiths.
Are stuck
okay,
with me.
Yeah, I was going a little later, sorry.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And people think of Riot Girl or punk or the various, you know, fill in the blank cores as just noise. But there's a sense that you know and love pop music in the way that the two of you, Kaya and Jody, harmonize, and the way you write melodies, you know. So it seems like, you know, that is as much a part of Team Dresh as
Joni Mitchell was that was the music that I loved as a teenager the most, and still love the most. But I think Donna was like, Donna is super grunge and is like, but loves the pretty singing with the harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Donna's in a bad mood at practice, I'll be like, Kaya, let's just work on that one little little part, and she'll be like, what do you want to work on that for?
Because
it makes
one,
Donna so happy when we harmonize.
Yep.
She's the one who likes all the pretty songs,
she likes
to sing along, and she
She's the most emo.
And when we started, when I was looking for this band, I was like, I want a band that is heavy, like super heavy, but had really pretty vocals.
Yeah.
And so
you actually completely made this happen. I don't even know we were alive before you.
It's pretty interesting. Like that. Each of us bring our particular style of music, and it creates this one sound, because I'm pretty much the grungy punk rock one, and you've got the more like a, I don't know what you'd call it.
Hippie
thing.
Hey, Donna.
If I hadn't accidentally ended up in the Northwest, I would have tried to follow Suzanne Vega, probably.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Donna,
yes?
I'm curious. Who was it that you saw play or heard that you were like, I can do that?
My friend Eric was like, you want to be in a band? And I was like, okay. He's like, what do you play? And I was like, bass. I just made it up because I had four strings, thought I could figure it out. So we would go to the music store down the street and pretend like we were shopping, and then we'd practice in the music store.
So cute.
All right, Mel, I just want to remind you who is asking the questions here.
Since
you got a good answer out of Donna from that, I'll let it slide. The next song we're going to hear from Team Dresch, also an oldie but goodie, is Uncle Frank, P-H-R-A-N-C. Who can explain who Frank is? Jody?
Frank is an all-American Jewish lesbian folk singer.
That's
from
how
LA.
She describes herself, yes.
She has been playing music. She was in the punk scene, the early punk scene in LA, in a band called Nervous Gender, and is also a visual artist. And just brilliant, just a brilliant artist, thinker, and inspiration. We played with her at the Women's Building in San Francisco, I don't know what year, but a long time ago. And I just had that moment of like, I saw her standing on stage, and I was like, I just kind of started crying, was like, I hadn't thought of it before, but I'd never seen someone older than me that kind of looked like what I would look like when I was that age, not that much older than me. But yeah, she was my mirror. And she's just always been really supportive, and Donna played on one of her records.
And she's on Captain My Captain.
Mm-hmm. Her voice is. Yes. And she did that in L.A. It was really fun.
Yeah. So we don't actually get to hear the phone call from the beginning of the song, but we'll settle for the song itself. Uncle Frank is the name of it. Here once again, Team Dresch.
Thank you.
Uncle Frank, live performance from Team Dresch. That song is originally on the album Captain, My Captain, and along with Personal Best and a handful of singles, they have all now been released digitally and are available after many years in all the usual digital spots. There's the new song called Your Hands, My Pockets. Kaya, having one new song under your belts, are there more coming?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's one more on a 7-inch that we released. That'll be digital, too, yeah?
It has been released digitally now,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, great. It's called Basket. So we do have two actual new song releases.
Okay.
And, yeah, I definitely want to write an entire album together. I love playing music with them. I love recording. It's all love.
So
it's all so good.
So the band is, like, full-on back in business, Donna?
As far as I can tell, we're going to do our best. What?
you're getting a thumbs up from...
I heard our manager tell someone that we're making a record in 2020 and then playing more shows on that record in 2021. That's what I heard him saying.
I love it.
We never had a manager before, and he is really good at getting us to do stuff.
We're just having fun.
We're out of the house.
We're just having fun with it.
All right. Well, we have been having fun with Team Dresch here in our studio today. Check out their whole catalog online. LPs have been released as well. The two new songs, Basket and Your Hands, My Pockets. Team Dresch, thank you all so much. It's been great fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
really
much
fun.
For having us.
I love your voice.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.